That was underwhelming, wasn't it? That's coffee.
It's coffee. It is the morning. It's National Hispanic Day.
It's a day off.
Happy...
Well, if it's a day off, you can go and pop a splash of brandy in that.
Day off. Not if you're autonomous, it's not a day off. Anyway, happy Spanish Day.
Yes, happy Spanish Day. Welcome to the Mallorca Mallorca podcast episode...
Oh, I was just looking that up. I think it's episode 11.
Is it? It's been a while. Actually, so apologies for the gap. We kind of got busy.
Yeah, stuff happened. I did, quite a long time ago, do an interview, and we're going to play that today. But yeah, we have a few things to catch up with.
We do. So first of all, now it's a national holiday. So it's Monday the 12th of October. It's one of Spain's national holidays. It's Hispanic Day, which I've been reading up to try and give you a little explanation if you don't know, but I'm afraid I'm none the wiser,
episode
really.
Episode 10, we are.
Episode 10. Welcome to episode 10.
Yes.
It's also Columbus Day, so it commemorates the day when Christopher Columbus arrived in the Americas. But Christopher Columbus was mostly probably not Spanish.
Uh-huh.
In fact, the Italians kind of claim him.
Really?
And he went to discover America, which was never a Spanish colony. But anyway, there you go. It's Columbus Day in the States. It's Hispanic Day here. We should also mention that there is some claim in Mallorca that Christopher Columbus may well have been a Mallorquin.
Where did he come from then?
Well, no, you Wikipedia him, and people say Italy, probably. But apparently on his deathbeds, even his sons were saying, you have to tell us who we are, Father.
It says he was born in Genoa in Italy.
Yeah. It is not clear, though. There's plenty of streets in Mallorca called the Calle Cristobal Colón.
What's that about?
Well, there was in the... Oh, I hope no one picks me up on this, or if they do, please do it nicely. Huh. That at a point around then, or possibly even slightly before then, Mallorca was the place where the most historic maps of the world were made.
Oh, wow.
Ramon Llull, you know, the famous...
Yes. Right,
he was the head of the...
But maybe the podcast listener doesn't know who Ramon Llull is.
Ramon Llull is... There's a big statue of him in Parma.
Overlooking the sea.
Overlooking the sea. Had I known I was going to be talking about Ramon Llull, I might have read up a bit.
Okay.
So what follows may not be true. But he had a big beard. And there was... Anyway, the Mallorca Map School. He was probably lots of other things too. But hand-drawn maps of the New World as it was discovered was what Mallorca was famous for in those days before Arenal. And Magaluf. Yeah. And that effectively it was a place where, I'm just going to say this wrong, where sailors hung out.
Anyway.
Maybe that's how Christopher Columbus got here.
Happy, is it Christopher Columbus Day or Hispanic?
Columbus Day in the States, Dia de España here, or Hispanic Day, depending on where you are.
Okay. And by the way, I'm Vicky McLeod.
I'm Oliver Nielsen.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Should we put the intro music in here?
All right. I say Mallorca and you say Majorca. I say Majorca and you say Mallorca. Mallorca, Majorca, Mallorca, Majorca. Let's call the whole thing off. So apart from it being National Hispanic Day. That one. I know that it's normally a really big deal in Spain, but this year, obviously, celebrations have been curtailed.
Well, actually, we should probably mention, this dovetails into something else we're going to talk about.
Yes.
Is the lockdown in Madrid. There's been quite a lot of politics, to say the least, going on this week. The cases of COVID, as in confirmed cases in Madrid, are awful, actually.
One of
the worst in Europe. And the national government of Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister, has been basically locked into political fighting, I suppose, with the regional head of Madrid. He wants to put Madrid into lockdown, and the head of Madrid regional government doesn't. As of yesterday, they brought in emergency powers. The Spanish Prime Minister brought in emergency powers, which effectively override anything a regional government can do.
Has that meant that they're not getting together for a bit of a Hispanic party today?
Well, they wanted to get this done before today, because what people the world over do when you've got a public holiday is you go off to the seaside or something, you pack up the car and you go and see your granny or whatever you do. And so what they didn't want is lots of people leaving Madrid, because Madrid has around more than 540 cases per 100,000, which is double the national average, or more than double the national average. So they didn't want, effectively, Madrid on a bank holiday to become super spreaders. So as of now, you're not allowed, from Madrid and eight of its sort of satellite suburbs, you're not allowed to leave the region apart from work, school, and medical reasons. And a really, really good excuse. So lots of cats are going to the vets, I think, today.
I hope that Madrid calms down soon. I know quite a few people that live in Madrid, actually, mm-hmm. that have family in Mallorca. And because of it being National Hispanic Day, quite a few of them have been back here.
Well, I think, well, that's exactly actually, the issue. Yeah, lots of people go, right, it. Long weekend, just get maybe on a plane, go to the family holiday
should
home.
Should have kept a little bit more of a distance from those people.
Maybe so. Anyway, yeah, so that's, and this, the ruling from the national government, and I've got to get this right if I can, is that towns over 100, if a town that has more than 100,000 inhabitants goes over 500 cases per 100,000, as in goes over 5%, then they will be subject to the same lockdown. And that's wherever you are in Spain. And that in the Balearics, really, that only includes Palma. So everywhere else is smaller than 100,000. But Palma, as yet, is not at 500 cases per 100,000.
I know that Andratx has got 6 cases.
Yeah, there's only 12 people live here.
I know, but that's 50%.
That's
then.
Where we live. No, no, not more than 12, but yeah.
But it's like, it, actually, in the more rural areas of the island, it's it almost feels kind of silly to be wearing the mask, doesn't it?
Yeah, except you should.
Well, you have to.
And everybody is. I have to say everybody is more
mostly,
or less.
I mean, yeah, there are a few people that don't.
I mean, even the people who don't like, who kind of object to it, and that's fine, they have their opinions, but even the objectors are wearing them. Because
well, you get fined if you don't.
Well, I know. Yeah. So,
how did the 6 points challenge go?
The 6 points challenge.
Because like you had a problem, presumably, to keep everybody apart.
This is a bit where I mansplain again, isn't it?
Oh.
Or are you going to tell us what the 6 point challenge is?
Well, I think the listener already knows because they probably heard you talking about it at least twice before.
Well, we have spoken about it. It's a cycling challenge. It's the mansplaining bit. It's a cycling bit.
I didn't say that you're mansplaining. No. Other people said that you're mansplaining.
It's a bunch of blokes and a few women. We need more ladies, actually, to join us next year.
Loads more girls required.
Cycling around, doing a 3-day cycling event around Mallorca to raise some money for a couple of local charities. It was supposed to happen in May. It didn't happen until October because of, well, COVID. But we did get it away. I'm part of the organising committee. And it happened. And it's Calvia, the municipality where the organiser lives. It was the only international event they've done this year. So everything else is cancelled. So it's a bit of a testament to Brian Visser and the team to get the thing away at all. But we had about 40 riders, stayed up in some nice hotel, a nice hotel in Poyenza. And we were joined by Karen Dark. MBE, a Paralympian.
Who's she?
She's a Paralympian. She lives here sometimes. She's a hand cyclist. She during a climbing accident in her 20s, she was paralysed from the chest downwards.
Oh.
And she's got a hand bike designed by the Williams Formula One team.
Cool.
On their lunch hour, I think. And she's won lots of things, including silver medal in the London 2012 and gold in Rio last time out, 2016.
Good
she
job.
Was supposed to be in Japan for 2020 games, but that's not happened. So she's trying to keep herself in shape for 2021.
You told me she'd had a really good weekend.
She had a great time. She rode with us most of the way. I mean, because it's one of these sort of lie flat, you know, the recumbent bikes that the
hand cyclists
use.
They look really scary to use, actually. Have you ever had a go in one?
No. They look a bit scary to use. They're very fast downhill aerodynamics and not so quick uphill. So, she joined with us riding for the weekend and gave a pretty inspirational talk, I have to say, on Saturday night to the riders. And she had a great time. And she's going to join us again next year. And she's going to represent the 6 points as an ambassador.
That's wonderful.
I know. So
that's
I can't wait to see
that's
her again,
a great
actually.
Stroke of luck.
Exactly. So if you're interested, just Karen Dark. Go and Google her. Karen and then Darke. She's quite the lady.
Yeah. We should ask her to do an interview.
We certainly should, actually.
And the winter days are drawing in. We've got past the solstice.
These are...
The leaves are falling off the trees.
Have we? When's the solstice?
The equinox...
It's not the same as the solstice.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And
the one in September.
Isn't it on October?
No.
Oh. Go on, woman's blame me.
No. There's one, like, every 3 months. So September is the beginning of autumn, isn't it? The middle, like, the 21st or the 22nd of September is the beginning of autumn.
The solstices are the shortest and the longest days.
Yes, that's December and June.
And the equinoxes,
yes,
if that's a thing,
X's,
are the halfway between the both of those things.
Equinoxes. That I don't know.
You did Latin.
I did, but it's only to get out of German. anyway, that's going on, isn't it?
Well, we say winter's
really
coming.
The weather
frankly,
has changed so much.
There are plenty of people wandering around in shorts. So if you're listening to us in Northern Europe,
it's still
we're crying
swimming
over nothing
weather.
Here, right? You still wouldn't put your coat on. So it's not,
no.
It just feels slightly cozier.
I wore my coat the other day when we went to Parma. We bumped into someone who proclaimed that I had overdressed.
Exactly.
But I thought it was going to rain.
Well, the main reason that, you know, it's definitely moving into the shorter days is when you switch from pink wine to red wine.
That's true, actually.
That happened. And the thin duvet comes out.
And you start thinking about soup.
Yeah, and I go to Carrefour and buy two pairs of trousers.
Stew.
That'll do me for the winter. So.
And you start doing things like looking at the log pile and wondering about when you should order some more.
Yeah, and the cats don't go out anymore.
Yeah. The cats, yes. We're actually, so we're surrounded by animals at the moment, but they're all sleeping, which is good.
There we go.
There's no snoring.
Winter, such as it is in these parts, is definitely on the way.
But the other thing, the other way you know winter's coming is because normally this time of year, a lot of people would be leaving the island, going to the winter season, so like going to the ski resorts or going back to the UK to spend the winter with their families, and then they come back next season, next summer, next springtime.
The seasonal workers.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what it is? It's when the DJs and the karaoke guys disappear.
They leave here and go to Andorra.
They go to Andorra to do ski resorts.
Yeah.
Like they migrate like...
Like birds.
Like wildfowl.
Like fat birds. Like birds who've had too many pints.
And birds who really need to go to bed a bit earlier.
But anyway, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because recently I did an interview with the rather special William Webb.
He is a bellwether.
Have you ever met him?
No, I don't think I have met Bill. I've corresponded many times on Facebook about various different thorny issues.
He has. Yeah, he's certainly got a. He's got a way with words.
Yes.
And in the interview, I might have cut out a couple of them.
Colourful metaphors.
Just so that this was family viewing, as it were.
Okay.
But I went to see him because he's a really good person to talk to about getting a feeling of what's happening vis-a-vis the kind of residency of the island. Because
you should tell the ladies and gentlemen what Bill does for a living.
I'm about to do that.
Right.
Crikey. Because he runs Webbs, which is a transport company, and they move people from England to Majorca, from New Zealand to Majorca,
Scotland,
from everywhere
Wales.
To Majorca and back again, it turns out. So
he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, many years. And they have a depot in Kent, and then they have one here. And they have, it's a family business actually. His ex-wife runs the depot in Kent along with his son. And then he runs the depot here along with his partner and a team of people. Anyway, enjoy the interview that I did with Bill. And we'll see you on the other side.
Great.
We've been on the telly a couple of times here. It's a bit embarrassing when I have the Iber up the road here come down and interview me bits and things, and they have to do it in English because my Spanish is so bad.
What do they ask you about?
Exactly what you're going to ask me about.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
I could actually show you extracts from a year ago when the Brexit was kicking in. And they were very interested about the British companies and the businesses here in Majorca and how it was going to affect us. And so I did a little sketch for them, but... That was interesting, to say the least.
Has it changed since a year ago?
Uncertainty. Our biggest worry and concern is not knowing the rules, not knowing what to expect. You know, we're literally going to come up to the 31st of December. And right now, we just don't know what to expect. 21% import tax on everything from the UK.
Whoa.
Well, it is. It's no different to bringing stuff in from... India, America, UK is not going to be part of Europe or the EU or whatever you want to call it. So
does that mean things like tea bags are going to get more expensive?
Exactly, plus an import tax. So hypothetically, say for instance, Spain turns around and says, we're going to charge you 15% import tax on top of 21% IVA. Do the math. So with removals in what we do, there will be a system which was pre, 92 or something like that, where you have to clear customs at La Jonquera, and you could come into Spain if you qualified with the right bits and pieces. You got in free of charge. But a huge majority of stuff that comes to the island is people, and it's not doing the local businesses any good, but a lot of people buy stuff from the UK that they prefer there. They might prefer the sofas there, the beds there. Even though Mallorca has got a lot, lot better with the stuff they have here, a lot of the Brits like what they like. And it's not only the Brits, the Germans, the French. Everybody likes their furniture from the homeland. They bring it here. So that part of the market for us could diminish.
Hmm.
Because people are no longer going to, you know,
it's not going to be viable, is it?
The top end, which is where we really play, it will affect them slightly because a lot of the tax write-offs and however they work it. But for the bread and butter,
me,
yes, you know, not the normal human beings who don't really care,
average Joe,
they are, you know. That is a huge concern for us. But right now, the top shelf are moving out here.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah, the £5-10 million plus houses. You know, we could give you a few names and faces and addresses, but we won't.
No, of course.
And that part of the market has been extremely busy.
As a second home or as a permanent move?
Some of these is a permanent move. There's a bit of a mixture of both. And a lot of people are commuting because it's so much uncertainty now with the virus and things. Nobody's really settled. Everything's up in the air. And so whether these people have bought these beautiful homes here are going to stay in them full time or commuting or doing what, nobody really knows. And we have to be very careful between being too nosy sometimes as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
I've seen, even just on my kind of Facebook forays into groups, how many people are asking about advice for schools, advice about where they should move to. You know, there seems to be a lot of interest in people moving here.
Yeah, without getting too political here, people in the UK aren't over happy there because you've got, you know, you've got the virus, you've got this, that, and other, and also, you know, nobody wants to live in the cities anymore. Everybody's coming out of the cities, and if they're moving out into the sticks in the UK or they're out in the sticks of France or come to Spain, Mallorca, there is a lot of young blood coming out here. But at the same time, it's the cost. I mean, the cost of property here, you're always going to pay a premium for. There was a great saying that someone said to me many, many years ago, that's not a Mediterranean, that's a moat. It keeps the peasants out. And I thought that's a little bit politically incorrect, but I thought it was quite funny. But yes, you always will pay a premium for Mallorca, and not so many people are moving from Mallorca to the mainland, because a while ago you had a lot of people, the older generation. This is all when Brexit was supposed to start about a year, 18 months ago. A lot of people were jumping ship then. And what they were doing was that they're buying a similar property on the mainland for a third or half the same money that it would be here, and cashing in the rest and putting that in the bank and living off it.
Yeah.
So that was a year, 18 months ago. But just to repeat the word uncertainty, nobody knows what's happening with Brexit.
Mm.
If they do know, please tell me and tell me what the lottery numbers are for tonight as well.
Yeah, me too. How long does it take from somebody deciding they want to move here to actually moving here in your general, from when they contact you, what's the kind of turnaround time?
That's a great question, but I can't answer because my son Gareth runs the UK depot. So he will be meeting the customers first in the UK, and the period between him seeing them, people moving over here, you know, it can be months. I mean, some being years, some are days. I mean, you know, we get phoned up on a Friday for people moving here on the Wednesday.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, so it's having the infrastructure and all the stuff around you is very, very important.
Yeah, and you guys have been going for a long time now, haven't you?
1985, I started this with a transit van.
Amazing. Well done.
Yeah, well,
that's a real...
Still driving a truck.
Incredible sustainability on the business then? I mean, that's really amazing that you've managed to do it through some... How many recessions have we had? That's three, isn't it?
About three or four, and also being able to diversify. I mean, in what we do, we're primarily a removal company, which we know, but we've gone a little bit into freight. We carry a lot of freight. That's my worry with the Brexit, because obviously with the taxes involved. Also, we do vehicle transport. We have our own double-decker vehicle transport. A fleet of 30 plus vehicles, different vehicles, not one shoe fits all. And we've had to diversify and utilise what we've got in different ways. So, but we're looking forward to the challenge of 2021, that's for sure.
Can't wait for 2021. How many people have you got working for you?
Well, over here in New York, we have just the three, and sometimes on the odd occasion, we'll have a couple of UK crew come over, because we have a weekly scheduled service from the UK. And often they come with crews, and sometimes they stay. We have a studio here, so they can stay in that rather than kipping the lorry. And in the UK, it's about 20. It's a lot more at the UK office.
Where is it?
It's a place called St. Nicholas at Wade, which is very close to Ramsgate in Kent. And Ramsgate is a place that we were for 25, 30 years. So everybody knows that Webb's a Ramsgate. St. Nicholas at Wade is a little village 10 miles away out in the sticks with a huge industrial estate.
Is that where you're from?
Me, originally, I'm Welsh. Yeah, I speak to a Welsh accent when I want to.
Oh, okay. Hello.
I started from a man event. I know all the tricks. I know all the interpretations. But also, I know that if you do advertise a service, you actually physically do that, because I find it sometimes getting a bit political here, but I find it very frustrating that some people advertise a service they don't do.
Or not insured for either.
Well, the insurance side of it, I mean, I saw it the other day. It was a guy who was advertising, I'm going back, blah, blah, I've got room in the van. And the fact of the matter, as soon as you do something for higher reward, it's a different insurance, you know, specification. But, you know, I don't go to church every Sunday, so this is no halo, believe me.
No.
So that's really about the story behind Webb's removals, in a sense. The Brits are coming. The Brits are leaving as well. Our second most popular destination, I'll let you have a guess. Where
Your second most popular destination is, I don't know, Menorca.
No, New Zealand.
Wow.
Yes. 4 shipping containers in July, August and September we have done to New Zealand.
British people going to New Zealand?
No, primarily these are people from the Yachty fraternity.
Oh, okay.
Come over the as youngsters, wives, kids, going back. New Zealand is, for us, is...
A huge destination. How does it get there?
Well, it can go various ways. It goes by sea container, our trucks, you know. We say we go as far as your checkbook and reach, but at the same time... But unfortunately, I haven't got the ship yet, but no, that shipping container. And the stupid thing about it is something, just talk to so people understand the sea freight. The sea freight for a 20-foot shipping container from the mainland to Mallorca, because it's put on the back of a trailer, as to say, a road train, could be £1,000.
Yeah.
Barcelona to Mallorca.
Wow.
A 20-foot shipping container from London to New Zealand, Wellington, is £1,600.
Okay, that doesn't...
It doesn't equate, does it?
No.
So there you go. So different destination, different prices. For instance, UK mainland to the Isle of Man, £1,800 for a ferry.
Ouch.
So when people put things into comparison, they try to relate.
Yeah. You're trying to do it on distance.
It doesn't always work. For instance, like from Haysham to the Isle of Man, £1,800. Where does that come from? One company that does it, Isle of Man Steam Packet Company, Captive Market.
Yeah. So, and it's the Isle of Man, for crying out loud.
Well, you're not skint that goes to Isle of Man, are you?
No, not at all. You're trying to tuck a few things away when you go to the Isle of Man, aren't you?
Yeah, I can't say that. We've got some very good customers from the Isle of Man. We've got some very good customers from all around the world.
Okay, we'll cut that bit.
That's the truth. I'm very, very grateful for the business we get, and we are aware people have the choice.
Mm.
I think people come to Webb's because it is pretty much like UK. My son, Gareth Webb, got to mention him. He's in charge of the UK depot. with his mother, and I'm over here in the sun with looking after this end.
You might have got the better end of the deal.
Sometimes I think so. Sometimes I wouldn't mind the rain, actually. People said, what would you ever do? Where would you retire if you won the lottery? And Southern Ireland.
Oh, okay.
I love the place. I go down there whenever I can. Right down the bottom.
I see.
A little bit of fingers sticking out into the sea. That's me.
Lovely.
Lovely part of the world. And it rains a bit. And I'm Welsh, so I don't mind the rain.
Couple of jars.
Oh, yes. Can't understand a word they're saying, but I can't understand Spanish either, so...
I was always thought that Mallorca is quite like Wales. It's got mountains.
Menorca, I think Menorca is a bit more like Wales because it's a lot greener, where Mallorca is quite barren in a sense, with colour-wise.
I mean, not just the landscape, but also the fact there's double languages. The people are very... the island is very proud of itself. You know, it's a very... It's a very strong identity here. I don't even feel like I live in Spain. I live in Mallorca, you know. I don't feel like I really am attached to Spain in that way.
This is where I'm such a disgrace with my lack of linguistic skills.
It's never too late.
Oh, yes.
I've lived here forever and I still have lessons twice or three times a week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, still struggle to conjugate verbs in the past tense.
Right.
So... Keep trying.
I think people pretty much resigned with me. So that guy owns a removal company, doesn't speak a word of Spanish. Yeah,
that's you've managed to make a successful out of it.
At a great cost, in a sense, you know, is it an excuse? I learnt from day one here that unless you can speak in business, unless you can speak it 100% clear and clarified, you've got a good chance of getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
And for that case, I've always had Spanish-speaking...
Staff,
and also my excellent lawyer, who's from Ibiza, believe it or not, but here in Mallorca. She deals with everything that comes to that point. But clearly, as you can see, I'll never starve.
A good Welsh boy.
I put on 15 kilos since I moved here, so clearly I won't starve. But yes, happy days.
Well, thank you.
Good.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Hopefully I won't need you to take me home again.
There's lots going back. I'm just talking to my son now about running the truck out here empty to get stuff back. We're just loading the truck around the corner now, and we can't get all that on. On top of that, we've got five other jobs to collect before that one's due to leave. So it's five jobs.
Are there many more people going back than they're arriving?
This time of year, September, always is, in a sense that people who work contracts and there's no work. It's a natural time of the year to go. February, March, April coming out, September, October, November coming back. January, February, the reforms. So there's all sorts of different things going on for us as a company because we do moves within the island with storage. We do moves to the mainland with one of the only companies, British companies on the island that holds the Spanish transport license as well, which we're very proud of. We had to drag a few others into it, but that's the reason being that I'm bad Spanish. I have to sort of be up to date on all the regulations and the bits and pieces. So. Yeah.
So that's part one of my conversation with Bill. And then this is part two coming up now. The reason why it's in two bits is because I actually then called him again the following week to get an update on what was going on with Brexit and the new corridor that's being invented in Kent so that transport companies can kind of go through a border there. And this is part two. I did it on the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Bill, it's Vicky McLeod.
Hello, Vicky McLeod, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm out in Selva going to look at a job, an access job.
Oh, lovely. It's a quick jaunt to the middle of the island. I was ringing you because I wanted to just get a little update on now that the British government have announced some of the kind of procedures that they're going to put in place for moving in and out of the country. I wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, My interpretation of it is this, is the fact this is to avoid people turning up at the port with no zero paperwork and just shrugging their shoulders and saying, I don't know. This is a system they're putting in place to ensure that people have got the right paperwork in place before they get to the port. See what I mean? It's a bit like turning up at customs here or whatever without filling in that proxy form or whatever you got to do. The form I don't think they read, they just scan it, don't they?
Mm.
And that's what, from my interpretation, it is to avoid people turning up, you know, with nothing and just acting daft, you know, thinking you haven't had stuff in place prior to arriving at the port.
Okay.
And it makes a hassle. It avoids the pattern. See, if you got like 20 trucks turn up at the port and they've got the wrong paperwork, you know, what do you got to turn them around and back them out. So the British government are trying to avoid all that and to ensure that they have got things in place prior.
Yeah. So you're in favour?
I'm in favour of anything. I mean, I'm not in favour of bloody Brexit at all, you know. You know, anybody who voted for us, this great idea that we're better off alone, hasn't got a bloody clue. But you know, it's bloody big pants time, isn't it? You know, I think we're either going to win or fail on this, but I must admit, I am concerned. I am a little bit worried. And partially is my fault, my serious lack of Spanish, which, you know, I should have learned by now, but obviously I haven't. But it's the bureaucracy of it. It's the huge concern. And like I say, I've been out for three jobs this morning in Palencia. That's what the Spears are saying. And three people going back to the UK, and they're coming out because you can no longer get a yearly rental contract here in Mallorca under the new rules, or the new rules that are coming in. So this is all things I don't understand 100% myself. Except to say a lot of people are abandoning ship because they are so uncertain of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I would have been a great believer that this thing gets knocked back a year again. And let's have the rules, let's have the agreements or the non-agreements, let's know the rules with plenty of notice rather than last minute, and it's getting very last minute.
Yeah, and I agree.
And where people are uncertain and they're unsure, they head for home. You know, people been there 30, 40 years, they still call UK home. Mm. So that's what I'm seeing, that right now the inquiries of people going back has trebled.
Wow. Okay.
Well, John, now, the house I'm now going to see in Selby is a 20-foot shipping container. And these people, we moved to Australia 5 years ago, and they've now come back. So, they've left Australia and come back here. So it's a funny old world in the land of Webb's removals, that's for sure.
Well, take care of yourself. Thank you for giving me 5 minutes.
Cool, that was really interesting, wasn't it? Actually, it's kind of like something I've been, as a pet theory of mine for a while, which I share with the former Balearic president, Ramon Balfour.
Oh, yeah? Do you have tea with him often?
I used to have a radio show on Radio Marici, and he was my only listener. He was the mayor of Marici.
That's true.
He was the mayor of Marici, and it was a kind of council radio station. And if ever I said anything that was slightly less than complimentary about his party, the PP, we'd get a little email.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so then he went on and became the president of the Balearics for a bit. But now he's been talking about the Balearics as part of its future, because there's a real concern now that we've got this over-reliance on tourism here.
Yeah.
That actually even 20 years ago, I mean, tourism has for 50 years, 50, 60 years more, has been very important to the local economy, in fact, vital to the local economy. But actually, even as recently as a couple of decades ago, there was a little more diversity, there's more things. But actually, that with the post-COVID world and people not needing to go and live within a couple of hours commute of their offices in London or Dusseldorf or Stockholm, but actually people can go, you know what, I'm going to work from home, I'm going to move here. So,
but there's such a, there is, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I am, that's all very well. But there's also then the watering down of a culture, isn't there? Because, I mean, the potential risk of the watering down of a culture, because how many of these people come and are going to come and really put themselves into the Mallorquin fiestas and learn local languages and really try to be part of the community? That's the thing. Well, I think maybe. That I mean, like, you might get the us and them thing even more than it is now.
But I mean, one man's watering down is another man's diversity, isn't it?
I agree. I agree. I know. I mean, as I was saying it, I was thinking, Vicky, you're talking a load of rubbish.
No, it's not rubbish. It's opinion. But I mean, we lived in London for a long time. I didn't see a single pearly king and queen.
That's true.
But it was a great place to be and get a good curry.
But I was, yeah.
I tell you what, there's a lot of Spanish people who go for a sneaky full English at Tom Brown's in the summer.
Okay. We missed Tom Brown's, didn't we, this year?
Yes, it's an institution they've shut this year.
And I want to just say hello to the staff at Tom Brown's, because we read an interview last week with it was one of the waitresses in Ultima Orange. It was pretty grim reading, because they've had a very tough year. With very low incomes.
Yeah, Tom Brown's is a Magaluf institution.
Just one of the many businesses that have really suffered this year.
And they've been there forever. They do fry-ups and Sunday lunches and stuff, and it's great. Lovely staff and good service. Right on the beach in Magaluf, and they like almost everything in Magaluf, didn't open at all this year.
I really enjoy going there. anyway, so on the subject of holiday resorts, actually, we did actually go up to Puyensa recently, didn't we?
We had a staycation.
It was so nice.
Yeah.
I wrote about it in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. I'll link the article. I don't know if they put it on the website or not, but I've got a PDF. And we took our daughter up for a weekend away. It was her birthday, so ended up doing a surprise weekend for her, which was super good. We did, what did we do? We had really nice pizza in Moldavaggio in Port-au-Prince. We hung out with Ottilie Quince, who's a really, really cool girl who runs a cycling business up there.
And is multiple world champion.
Yes,
that's Transplant Games.
We have two world champions on our podcast today. Both women. Go girls. And what else? And then on Saturday, you went cycling and I took the teenagers for a walk. In the afternoon, we got visited in our really nice villa by beauty therapists who came and did mani pedis and facials and what have you, and then we had a barbecue, and the weather got a bit dodgy, didn't it?
Well, it's the end of sort of September, early October.
Yeah,
the storms come in before the weather calms down to this kind of
it was a bit windy.
Yeah, it was actually.
And then on the Sunday, we went to the old town of Puyensa, let the teenagers loose with a few quid around the market, and watched dogs guarding their territory on the Calvary steps. That was really fun. And then I took the teenagers back down the road, back to Palma. So it was just us and our daughter. Oh, sorry, because we took three of her friends up with us.
Hmm.
And we went cycling. We went cycling from Puyensa to Alcudia and had lunch there. And then we just had a really, really nice weekend. I could have stayed up there much longer.
If you are listening to this podcast and you don't live in Mallorca, there's a phenomenon that perhaps you don't quite understand, which is as soon as you move here, within about 6 months, any drive longer than half an hour feels like you've just gone to the other side of the earth.
Yes.
So it's about an hour and 15 minutes to Puyensa from my house. It really feels like you've been shot in a rocket to Mars. You go, wow, what language do they speak up here? Look, they've got HP source up here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, so you can have a holiday in Mallorca, a place you've never been before, just by driving about an hour. And it is very nice, actually.
One of my highlights of the weekend was just being in a different place.
Yeah.
Because the villa we were in was really,
away from your computer.
Yes, that too. But I did take it with me. But the villa we stayed in, I mean, like we got it just for a couple of nights. And normally you wouldn't be able to book a villa like that. But obviously this year everything's a bit different.
I mean, for
all the guy who owned it was charming. And it was a great.
As we've spoken a bit in the past about all of the hotels closing, or most of the hotels closing this year, or not more closing early, or not opening at all, but actually also the villa rentals, the Airbnbs, they've had a terrible year as well.
So yeah.
If you are living here, or if you can get here and live with the quarantine back to the UK, there are some pretty reasonable deals around on the Airbnbs. Make them an offer, you never know.
Yeah, well,
come for Christmas.
Aww.
It's very nice.
Anyway, today, what with it being National Spanish Day and everything, it is actually pretty quiet out. And I think what we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to start a bit of a hike. We're going to go Port de Canonja. Is that how you say it?
Well, I got it wrong last time. I was pulled up by your Spanish teacher.
Oh, yeah.
So, how did you say it? It was Canonja.
Hey!
Although she'll probably correct me again.
Yeah, probably.
We're walking from Banyol Bufar to Port Canonja, which I don't think is a very... it's not very hilly, but it's very pretty.
Yeah, so we'll take some pictures.
Yeah.
And that's it.
We're done. We have been promising you the long-lost, missing turtle
No,
episode.
It's not long-lost. I asked the other day, have the turtles been released back into the sea? And as of yet, no.
We will edit together the turtle episode.
You will, or I will.
Something like that.
I will. It's just I wrote about the turtles in the bulletin as well. The turtles are doing well.
Good. Right. So that's us for the moment. That's episode 10. It's a wrap. Give us a like and a share if you feel like it.
You know what? That would be really good. And sorry we spent so much time doing real life the last few weeks.
I know. We shall attempt.
It got a bit intense, the whole back to school thing.
I put a huge amount of effort into avoiding real life, but occasionally it does sort of poke into my existence and stop me from doing things I want to do.
Oh, yeah, pay your bills.
Try and make sure that doesn't happen again. And yeah. we'll get back to you with a long lost turtle episode or something else we're going to talk about.
We have to talk about a few things. I know quite a few things, but you know, the other thing I think would be interesting to talk about at the moment, which is something that we could do some interviews about, is preparing to move to Mallorca, because quite a few people, as Bill said in the interview, are looking to come here. And yeah, some people are going back home, back to the UK, but some people are coming here. I feel anybody who moves back to the UK is going back because they either want to or they have to, you know. And that's just like a situation that I hope that I don't have to do without being a choice.
Yeah, I mean, economically, things are really slow here, and it's quiet, and it's going to stay that way, I think. And a lot of people, look, you can be as optimistic as you like. If you suddenly don't earn any money for 6 months, the decision makes itself, doesn't it, a little bit? So I think you may see quite a few people heading back unless something rather miraculous happens to the economy.
But one of the things that we really, and I think a lot of people don't realise, is I'm going to do an edition about health care, because it is going to become an issue for lots of English-speaking, British passport-holding people who may not necessarily be all that officially living here.
And also, if you do move here, I mean, you know, we live here. At the moment, you kind of get the healthcare as part of the rights for being an EU citizen. If you manage to move here after Brexit, well, Brexit has actually already happened, but after the transition period, then as long as you're paying into the social security system here, you will receive healthcare.
No.
I mean, if you're living and working, have a business here, there may be an issue about getting here. But
it's much more complicated than that.
And it's going to get more complicated.
We're going to do a conversation. You really don't know.
No, I don't.
There's a lot of things happening at the moment, a lot of misinformation, and people need to know what the situation is, especially if you're not registered as a resident in Mallorca or in Spain, then you are going to need to get yourself organised and covered for health care. And there are options. You can go and become a resident, but you know the process is a little bit backlogged at the moment. Anyway, so that's another episode. That's an episode I'm going to do soon.
Right. Should we finish our song?
What would you like to sing?
I was hoping you'd say no.
Viva! What is it? No. How do you say Viva? I don't even know that song. I want to say Viva España. Viva España. That's it.
That's a good place to leave it.
Hispanic Day, dude.
See you next time.
No, really? Mallorca, 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 Mallorca. Let's call the whole thing.